What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch with CJ Johnson.
Joining us for a look at things to watch is CJ Johnson. CJ, good evening. Welcome back to Nightlife.
Thank you very much, Philip. Lovely to be here.
Now, a movie, The Last Duel. Then we've got another movie, Becoming Cousteau. And the season 3 opening of Succession, the TV show that both you and I think is one of the best things we've seen. Okay. All right. Let's start with the movie, The Last Duel. What's this?
This is a throwback. This is a big, sprawling, extremely expensive, old school epic from Sir Ridley Scott.
Hey, oh, Ridley Scott. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Yes. Sir Ridley Scott, who is definitely in his 80s. He's made big, big, expensive, throwbacky type films like this before, back in the day when they weren't considered so much of throwbacks. For example, of course, he made Gladiator with Russell Crowe, which won Best Picture at the Oscars and won the Best Actor for Russell Crowe. And he made a film called Kingdom of Heaven. And he's made a couple of these big, expensive period dramas. Mm-hmm. But they do feel in 2021, or this, The Last Duel, does feel in 2021 as either old-fashioned and a throwback, or even kind of one of the last of its kind. Just seeing this kind of huge, dusty French set, 1300 set type of film definitely feels like it's something kind of old-fashioned, and that alone makes it kind of wonderful. That alone kind of makes it worth going to see, because it definitely has a certain nostalgic value, I would say. It is essentially a French 1300 true story version of Rashomon. Do you know the Japanese film Rashomon?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yes, I haven't seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, it famously told the story of a sexual assault from multiple perspectives. Mm. So for about 25 minutes or half an hour, you got one person's version, and then you got the story again, and then you got the story again. And each version was slightly different according to that teller's version of the truth. And that's exactly what you get here about, once again, a sexual assault. So Matt Damon plays this kind of warring Frenchman in the 1300s who essentially goes to battle for his king to make his money. And his kind of friend, but kind of frenemy, is played by Adam Driver, this guy he kind of meets along the way. And as I say, they become friends, but they're also essentially rivals, and they do have elements of their personality that clash. Mm-hmm. Matt Damon, in order to get some land, get some money, get ahead, and maybe also for a little bit of companionship, takes a wife played by Jodie Comer. And then something happens, something bad happens between Jodie Comer and Adam Driver's character. And it is that incident that is told three times, from the Matt Damon's character's perspective, Adam Driver's character's perspective, and then Jodie Comer's character's perspective. So it is exactly the Rashomon structure, but in this $200 million French 1300s set period drama directed by Sir Ridley Scott. So it is simultaneously a Me Too story, you know, a very, very, very contemporary theme about sexual assault and believing women and who should be listened to, and men versus women's voices within a court of law. But it is also a throwback medieval epic, and of course the laws that are being examined are the laws of 1300s France. So you can only get so much relevance to today's discussion out of it, because as I say, the laws are different, the customs are different, the mores are different, everything's different. The thing that makes the picture really good, besides its sheer scope and the fact that Sir Ridley Scott does this kind of movie incredibly well, is Jodie Comer. Audiences will know Jodie Comer as Eve from Killing Eve, or maybe she's the other one. Sorry, Eve's the cop. She's the assassin. Mm-hmm. And she's excellent in that, and she's excellent in this film. And she has to do this very intriguing acting, because in her version of the story, she's playing her truth. But in the two men's versions of the story, she has to play the version of herself as filtered through their minds, through their truths.
Okay.
So it's interesting, tricky acting that she's doing, and she does it very well. It is 2.5 hours long. Some people won't be into the medievalness of it. Some people won't be into the Me Too story of it. But I really quite liked it.
Okay. Here's a clip from it. It's called The Last Duel.
You knew what would happen to me should you lose this duel. You knew, and you didn't tell me.
God will not punish those who tell the truth.
My fate and our child's fate will be written not by God's will, but by which old man will tire first.
How dare you speak to me this way?
What have I to lose? I begged you to find another way, and now I might be burned alive.
I am risking my life for you.
Hmm. You are risking my life, so you can fight your enemy and save your bride. And that could render our child an orphan. Or did you not think of that?
Mm. Yes,
a couple of other little things about it. It's based on a book that's a true story.
Right.
It's an actual event. And also, I should say that Ben Affleck's in it as well.
Okay.
So it's reuniting Matt Damon and Ben Affleck in an interesting setting.
All right, it's called The Last Duel. That's directed by Ridley Scott, so it's got to be worth having a look, you'd think. Another movie and this is out in the cinemas now, The Last Duel, is it?
Yes, it is right now.
Right, yeah. Okay. Now, Becoming Cousteau, what's this? Oh, this is a look at the life and times of Jacques Cousteau, the famous environmentalist.
And once super, super, super famous.
Yes,
and that's kind of the thing that's most interesting about this documentary, Becoming Cousteau. The filmmaker, Liz Garbus, has made a lot of really good documentaries, and all of her documentaries look at a famous person, generally in the arts. And in this case, Jacques Cousteau was absolutely in the arts, besides being an undersea diver and sailor and scientist, because he was a filmmaker. And the first film he made about his adventures at sea in the 50s won an Oscar and also won the Palme d'Or at Cannes. So he was a very, very, very admired and awarded filmmaker. So supposedly Liz Garbus wanted to make this film about Jacques Cousteau when she found out that her kids hadn't heard of Jacques Cousteau. And this shocked her because Jacques Cousteau was such a seminal figure to her. And one of the things the film is about analog global fame, is about that kind of fame that existed but ran out before the world went digital. Thus that Jacques Cousteau might not be known to young people today, but he was known by everybody once upon a time. You know, in the 20 or 30 years where he was most famous, he was one of the five most famous people on the planet. And
yeah,
that is fascinating. And he was on all over the television, and kids aspired to be him and to see him and read about him, and his films were watched. And he was just this massive figurehead. You know, he was like Muhammad Ali level of fame and admiration globally. And it's very interesting that his fame, you know, because it came before the internet, has not survived into the internet age necessarily. But the other thing that this film does well, and there's a lot of archival footage it has, because he was constantly filming himself and his crew to use, is that it reminds us that he was a very early pioneer of activism in promoting the existence of climate change and the threat to the global environment. He was a real activist back in the 70s and 80s and a real pioneer in those fields. And that's an interesting thing to be reminded of, or indeed for younger people to learn.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's. I remember him as being massively famous when I was a kid. But as you say, probably not so much into the digital age. That's true.
Yeah, everyone knew his face, and it was a very striking face. It's a very, very, very Gallic face. But he also, the footage of him here, it feels like he didn't actually become famous until in his 50s, because he always looked kind of mature, and he didn't die till he was 87. So his fame was also in the second half of his life as well. It's all very interesting.
Yes, this is a clip from this documentary. It's called Becoming Cousteau.
Well, I'd like to ask you, what's it like down there?
It's fantastic. Imagine having no weight. Imagine that this would be underwater. You would move like this, swimming in space above all your little friends. It's beautiful.
when my friends and I started, it was for us the pleasure of discovering.
I wanted to show what was in the sea so that people would love it.
Because it was a great pioneer, wasn't he, of what we would call scuba gear and what we used to call skin diving.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, he invented stuff, or the people around him invented stuff. He used prototypes, submersibles, all sorts of stuff. And also his life, it wasn't a controversial life, but it wasn't without the odd controversy either, which this film looks at as well.
Yeah. Right. Becoming Cousteau is the movie on now. And now to television. Well, CJ and I love this show, Succession. Now, it's had two seasons already. And the new season, season three, has now opened. It's a week old. They're dropping it, unfortunately for us, week by week. So we've seen episode one of season three. If you haven't seen Succession, you're doing yourself a disservice. I'm sure you'd agree, CJ.
Absolutely. And the great thing is it is back with a vengeance and flying every single colour in its arsenal, isn't it? I mean, the first episode was just so, so wonderful.
Yeah.
And just every 10 seconds or 15 seconds, there was a zinger, and you were just reminded why this is the best show on television, how it's the best show on television. It was just such a good episode, and you just felt in really safe hands. And also, even though it was delayed for a couple of years, the filming of it, and even though they eventually bit the bullet and shot it completely during, you know, pandemic, you wouldn't know it.
No.
You know, it really looks like all stops are out. It's crowded scenes. It's people in helicopters. It's people in planes. It's the full shebang. And also what they're doing with it, which I think is a very good choice, and I think is going to be replicated across a lot of television shows, is even though the events of the series are taking place contemporaneously in the world of Succession, there simply isn't and never was and won't be COVID-19.
No.
So it's taking place in a slightly alternate reality. And so there's no one's wearing masks and everyone's talking and being close to each other and fighting like they should be.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's terrific. And for many reasons, but the performance of Brian Cox as the aging billionaire, it's kind of the whole thing sort of loosely based on the Murdoch sort of dynasty, but indeed other dynasties too. But Brian Cox's performance is remarkable, isn't it?
It is, and it's even more remarkable this episode in a way than the previous two seasons, because in seasons one and two, he was always, always, always the king of the tribe, the absolute boss of every room he was in. But at the beginning of season three, he's a little bit on the ropes, and he's a little bit scared, and he's a little bit defensive, and it gives Brian Cox more colours to play. So it's actually a richer performance this season because he is under threat.
Mm. Have a look at it. This episode one is out. Episode two drops, would have dropped by now. But it's week by week. Have a look at it. This is a grab from Succession, season three, first episode.
This is a company vehicle.
What?
I mean, I don't have a dog in this fight, but since you just clearly opened the company up to investigations, lawsuits, I imagine you're no longer working for the company.
Well, no, because I was acting in the best interest of the company.
Yeah, violating your duty of confidentiality, violating your fiduciary duties as a director.
Look, I need a sealed unit here, Carolina. I need a clean jar. So are you in for this f-ing revolution?
Oh, I know, it's exciting. I
Are you with me, yes or no?
Why did you do it like that, Ken? I mean, did you know?
Me? No. I had no prior warning, and I was surprised at his comments, but now I am obviously concerned and interested to hear more.
Okay.
This is a fork in your life, Carolyn. This is the righteous vehicle.
as Kendall, the son of the great billionaire, decides to turn on his father, of course, and who is with him and who's against him. It's a wonderful series.
That dialogue, you could listen to it like a radio play, couldn't you? It's so good.
I lie. He's fine. I'm unleashing the full beast.
I need a clean jar.
I need a clean jar. No, it's beautifully written. Created by Jesse Armstrong. Kieran Culkin's in it as well, who plays a fantastic role as well. And our very own Sarah Snook from Australia. That's right. Who plays Shiv is terrific as well. Have a look at it. Now, just briefly on the Sydney Film Festival.
Yes, the Sydney Film Festival is about to get underway. It was delayed, of course, but now it's starting on November 3rd, and there's all sorts of terrific films. It's a slightly smaller program. It's a slightly shorter season because of you-know-what, and a lot of it comes directly from Cannes, it seems, this year, because they probably could travel less and there were fewer festivals leading up to it. So we're getting a preponderance of French films, I've noticed, this year. I've got a few recommendations. A German film called Undine is terrific. I've seen an interesting American film called The Beta Test, a very good French film called Slalom, and a very interesting Australian documentary about the kid actors who were in the movie Kids 25 years ago called The Kids, that's really quite good as well. So that's about four films that I've seen from the festival, but there's a lot of rich pickings in there.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. CJ, terrific. Thank you.
Thanks, Philip.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.